With us, if you're new to our group or haven't met us before, just an introduction of who we are. We are a group of Christians who want to serve God and do exactly what He told us to do. So we just examine the Scriptures and try to do what the Scriptures tell us to do. And we believe that's how God ought to be served. We don't think that anything we add to what God has given us makes what we do any better, and we don't think anything we take away makes an improvement, because what God gave us is perfect, and that's what we strive to do. If anyone has questions about our worship or what we're teaching this morning or anything like that, I would invite you to come ask us, challenge what we're teaching, because we want to do what's right by God, and if you see something different, then we would appreciate if you let us know. I want to take some time this morning and talk about Jesus. Last week we were looking at the heart of Christ, and instead of doing a sermon, I just decided to do a series on this because it's such a interesting topic, it's a encouraging topic, and it's a helpful topic for us to take a look at Jesus and understand in Him what God is like and what God would have us to be like. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus gives an invitation to all of us. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus calls us to take a heart like His. He says, "Learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. Look at my heart and try and understand what God would have you to do. Look at me." And we know from 1 John, or John chapter 1, verse 18, that it says, "No one has ever seen God at any time, but the only begotten God of the Father, He explained Him to us." And so we know when we look at Jesus and we look at what He does, what He did, what we know is that's what God does and has done as well. Everything Jesus did in His life shows us what God is doing and continues to do, because Jesus had God's heart. It's an interesting thing to think about, is we think of God lofty on His throne, but when we look at the life of Jesus and what He did, with how He used every moment of His life, Jesus served. Jesus was constantly giving, to the point where His family, when they looked at Him, he was helping the people so much He didn't have time to take food, and they thought, "This man's demon-possessed. Why would He be doing this? This is too much." And you just look at Jesus' life, and time again, Jesus is constantly serving other people. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says, Jesus went around doing good. Who did Jesus give to? Everybody. And that's something, when we understand God, God gives to everybody. As we think about our own faith, and we think about what a great sacrifice it is if you gave your life for something or for somebody, to sacrifice yourself. And when we remember Jesus, we remember the sacrifice. But we don't just remember the moment He sacrificed His life, but remember the life which He gave every moment to us. You know, in a family situation, a lot of fathers, almost every father, I would say, would give their life for their family. But what the family really needs is a father who will give each moment of his life to his family, to serve his wife, to serve his children. We have a Savior who gave every moment of His life in service to us. And that's what made Him an acceptable sacrifice, is that every moment was right. Every moment was deserving of the glory of God. Everything He did was right because His heart was right. So I want to take a moment and look at Jesus' heart this morning. I want to consider His heart, but in different aspects. How did His heart affect what He did? And this morning I want to talk about how did Jesus' heart affect what He said. So let's go ahead and take a look. Open your Bibles with me. I want to start in John chapter 8. I want to look at a few things Jesus said about the truth and the impact truth has in our lives. In John chapter 8 and verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." That's a powerful statement, Jesus says, is it gives you some purpose for truth. Truth sets you free. The contrast to that is those who sin are enslaved. And Jesus says, you can continue in sin and stay enslaved, or you can hear and accept the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus always spoke truth, because Jesus' intention was to set us free, was to deliver us from our sins, was to expose what we're doing wrong and how we can do the right thing. Now, even though the truth sets you free, doesn't mean the truth is always easy to accept. Turn back to John chapter 6. Here, we'll give you a point of reference here. John chapter 6 and verse 60. So Jesus is teaching that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's how you become my disciple. So he's teaching some hard things. Starting in verse 60, it says, "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?' But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, 'Does this cause you to stumble?'" Here are people who saw Jesus. And this is just an incredible thing. They were in front of Jesus. They were hearing his teaching. And they weren't understanding it. And when he told them the truth, they said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can hear these things?" And they left him. They walked away. Now, the truth will set you free, but it doesn't mean the truth is always going to be easy to hear. And so there's one aspect of things, the truth sets us free, but it's not always easy to listen to. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 11 through 13, this is the banquet at the house of Levi. And the Pharisees come up and they say, "Look at this man, he's eating with sinners and tax collectors." And Jesus' retort to that is, "A physician is to help the sick, not the healthy, and these people are sinners." That's what he said. These are lost people. How well does that go over in, let's say, in your life and the way you deal with people? If you go to someone and say, "I believe you're lost." Well, what a harsh, rude, inconsiderate. It's not accepted well. But this is Jesus. He says hard things to hear. He says the truth will set you free, but the truth is also going to be hard to hear. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 1, the same thing, right? He's with sinners and tax gatherers, and the Pharisees are complaining about it. And what's Jesus start talking about? He starts comparing those sinners that he's eating with to lost sheep. They knew sheep. They're dumb animals. They can't get it right unless someone tells them what to do. And Jesus says, that's what these guys are like. I need to help them out. Sometimes hearing the truth isn't always easy to hear, but it's what we need. And so the truth will set us free, but sometimes the truth will set us off. And that's really what you see in Luke chapter 4. In the scripture reading, you have Jesus go to his hometown, and he starts teaching the truth, and the people don't accept it. They start saying, "Don't we know this kid? He's Joseph's son. We've known him since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. Where did this guy get this knowledge? Why should we listen to him? He's just Joseph's kid. We've seen him grow up. He's a carpenter. What's he doing trying to teach us?" And Jesus says some offensive things to them. And he says, you know, Elijah in his day went to a Gentile, and Elisha helped a leper named Naaman, who was a Gentile. They're the ones who got the help, not the Jews. And when they heard this, they got so incensed and so outraged, they tried to throw Jesus off a cliff. They wanted to kill him. He spoke truth about the people of his hometown, which started a riot. They wanted to kill him. Think about that for a moment. You're going into that situation. How does it feel to have the people you grew up with try to murder you? Reject you to that extent? Is that an easy situation to go into or a hard situation to go into? You know, if you think about what happened here, Jesus, if you look in, and I might be jumping ahead of myself a hair here, but Jesus, if you look what he said, the prophet's not welcome in his hometown. It wasn't like he walked into this situation blind. He knew where these people were at. And sometimes we might look at something like this and maybe seek to justify ourselves a little bit. Maybe sometimes you've said the truth to people and they have this sort of reaction, but it's because you were saying it in the wrong way, which happens, right? We can say things the wrong way, the wrong time, not really dealing with people well. And then when they get angry at you, you say, oh, well, not everyone's going to hear the truth. But that wasn't the case here with Jesus, right? Jesus, he was our example of speaking the truth in love. He said it the best way for these people to hear. And Jesus, in his wisdom, spoke. And when he spoke words that were worthy of the glory of God. They were perfect words, the exact words these people needed to hear, and it set them off. They became angry because they didn't want to hear the message that Jesus had to teach. The truth was adamantly rejected. And so what you see is Jesus spoke perfect truth, but that's not an easy job to do. It's hard to hear for people who are accepting the truth sometimes. And it's hard to hear for people who don't want to accept it. And it's hard on the person who's saying the truth. But regardless of all of that, but regardless of the external circumstances that come with speaking the truth in this way, Jesus did it. Every moment, he did it. He made that choice. Why would he make that choice? What's the motivating factor there? And I think that's the important thing. We look at this, the people rejecting Jesus. And on his way there, he knew, in fact, I can't remember, one of the Gospels talks about it, is he was going to his hometown. He was teaching his disciples, a prophet's not welcome in his hometown. And then he shows up at Nazareth and starts teaching, and the people reject him. But the first thing is he knew that he wasn't going to be accepted and they were going to take it poorly. And that's something I think as we look at ourselves, sometimes there are times like that, and in fact, the confrontational kind of conversations we have, we tend to avoid. So when we look at Jesus speaking truth, he didn't avoid those things. Yeah, but what's the reaction going to be? Am I going to hurt their feelings? Are they going to reject me? Are they going to break off the relationship with me? Anytime you tell someone they're wrong, especially if you're telling them they're wrong, there's a chance they're not going to like you for it. But if you look at our Lord, he said it anyway. He did what was right. And that's an important thing to keep in mind. He knew what he was going into. He did it anyway. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 15, this is an encouragement to Christians. But notice the way this is framed in Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth in love, as opposed to teaching false doctrines, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Who's the example of maturity regarding speaking the truth in love? What does Paul say? The example of maturity is Jesus. So, as we try to do things, we're supposed to try and do things the same way Jesus would do it. In fact, we're trying to attain that level of maturity that Jesus was in. So he's the head, he's the example, and we're trying to become like that. When Jesus spoke in Nazareth, he spoke in that way. As an example of maturity, speaking the truth in love, and yet they still rejected him. And Jesus knew that was going to be the case, and he did it anyway. Because he always spoke the truth. Why did he say it anyway? And I think this is the important question. This gets back to what we were talking about last week. It's not giving your life in a moment or giving the moments of living the moments of your life for others. And really what you see is the motivating factor behind what Jesus did. In John chapter 15, and in verse 11, it says, these things, this just as a side note, this is the cliff in Nazareth. I don't know if it's the cliff in Nazareth, but it gives you an idea of the terrain there. But in John chapter 15, verse 11, it says, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Here Jesus gives us the motivation behind what he did. Why did he always speak truth even when it was hard? I mean, there are times speaking truth is joyful and easy, and that is great. Not too long ago, I taught Jacob Basil the gospel. And he accepted it and responded to Christ and has been trying to make changes in his life. That's a joyful time to speak the truth. But I've also seen times where the truth is taught. And one time I had a guy, I was in a coffee shop reading just a book. And he's like, "Oh, what are you reading?" I got to chatting with him, and he started saying some things that were wrong. Particularly said that Paul was a false apostle, and I told him, "You know, you're blaspheming by rejecting the word of God that way." And he stands up in the middle of the coffee shop and shouts at me, "You're what did he call me? He either called me a demon or a messenger of Satan, one or the other. But he shouted it, and then he stormed off. He got that wasn't the easy time, you know. So these sorts of things happen, you know. Sometimes." You say the truth and it's received well, and some, maybe I didn't say it the best way. I'm not going to claim that I spoke perfectly. However, when Jesus, sometimes it's hard, but what's the motivation behind it? Why should we do what Jesus did, and why did Jesus do what he did? And what he says is, I do these things, I've spoken these things, so that my joy may be complete and that you may have your joy may be made full. That is such an important statement that Jesus made. People being set free because of the truth made Jesus joyful. And Jesus understood others need to hear the truth for them to be truly joyful. Jesus understood there's going to be people who take it wrong. There's going to be people who reject me. There might be someone who has their feelings hurt. But this is something they need to hear if they're going to have what's best for them. That was his motivation, so that my joy may become, so that I may have joy and your joy may be made full. Jesus wanted what was best for other people, truly best, the true joy of life. And sometimes the relationship between us is not the thing that's the important thing. You need to hear the truth. But when you say things in that way, you also are motivated to say things in a way that is understandable, easy to hear, truthful, not instigating, right? You're not going to just try and instigate someone for the sake of it. You're not just going to punch them in the face with the truth, and if they don't like it, that's their fault, right? That's not how we're going to do it. We're going to try and give them the truth in an acceptable way for them, because your motivation is that their joy may be made full. Look with me in verse John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down their life for their friends. Here again, you see this same idea. Laying down your life for your in a moment is an important thing, but it also goes for the other thing is you might do the great thing, but the moments are also what matter. And Jesus was willing to do both. Is he lived his life for others. His motivation, the thing that motivated his heart was that others might be saved. So the first thing is he loved people. That was his motivation. The second part of his motivation, turn with me to John chapter 8. We'll read 28 and 29. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak the things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Here's Jesus' second motivation for telling the truth, is because I need to be pleasing to the Father. Everything I do, the reason I say the things I say, is because it's the things that God asked me to say. It's according to God's word. You might ask the question, well, maybe Jesus had a revelation from God and he understood the things to say because he was the Son of God, but there was also some prophecy in what he said. Some things were revealed to him by God. However, when Jesus was being tempted by Satan and Satan said, turn these rocks into bread, do you remember Jesus' response to that? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now there is a message for us. I want to speak only the truth. I want to have this heart that Jesus had. How can I have it? Jesus says you can have it if your desire is to speak what the Father has to say. Well, how do I get there? Don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Eat the word. In Ezekiel, when he is being told to go out to prophesy, he was given a scroll and said, eat the word, absorb it into your body, then go out and teach it. When John's being set in the end of Revelation chapter 10, eat the word, it's going to be sweet in your mouth and sour in your stomach, but eat the word. Jeremiah, he says, I heard the word of the Lord and I ate it and it was sweet to my mouth. See, when prophets go out to teach, which are essentially preachers, they have a message from God. They go out and proclaim it. They eat the word first. They learn it. It becomes part of them. They absorb it into their heart. And then it comes out their mouth. And that was how Jesus did things. Everything I teach because the Father's given it to me to teach. So this is the things that motivate Jesus. He always spoke the truth. He did it even when it was hard. Because he loved you, and he loved God. There are his two motivations. He loves you, and he loves God. So I'm going to say the truth of God in a way that is presentable to you because I love you, and because the truth is going to set you free, and it's going to make your joy complete. If you want to speak the truth of God, you need to follow Jesus' pattern in this. Look at him and do what he says to do. You got to eat the word. Don't live by bread alone. So how can I speak the truth? Matthew 11:29, just a powerful scripture. Jesus says, I learn from me. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Learn what my heart is like and copy it. What yoke does Jesus carry? Well, he's the Son of God, and he's doing the acts of God. He's acting like God acts. That's his yoke. And he says, what you're going to find, though, is the yoke that I have, the burden I'm going to give to you is light compared to the burden of sin. And it's easy compared to that. So look at my heart and learn from me and take my burden. And that's what we need to do for Jesus. We need to look at him and learn from him. So what does Jesus say about this? There are different ways I was going about this, but I just decided I'm just going to take this little passage here because it's something that we can maybe mark our Bible and read it throughout the week. And it's a good reminder of all these points that Jesus talks about. And he's teaching us how to guard our words, how to speak like he speaks. That's really what it comes to, how to speak only truth and to do it well. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 33, he says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Here's the first thing, when Jesus is teaching about what comes out of your mouth, he says, the words we say is a reflection on our heart. The way James describes this in James chapter 3, he says, no one can tame a tongue. No one can do it. That means you can't control everything that comes off your tongue if it is in conflict with your heart. Does that make sense? You can't have a bad heart and only have sweet water. You can't have bitter water in your heart and only have sweet water come out of your mouth. It's not possible. James says, no one can tame the tongue. You don't have power over that thing. Well, what do you do? What do you have power over? You have power over your heart. And if you change the heart, if you make the tree good, what's the fruit going to be? Good, right? No one can tame the tongue. The tongue's going to put forth what's in the heart, what's in the well. And that's what Jesus is teaching as well. You cannot change what you say enough to have it not reflect your heart. So Jesus says, change what's in your heart. Well, how do we go about doing that? Put in what's good. Eat the word. Live on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how Jesus did it. Jesus lived on every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. If you want to change the way you speak, that's how you're going to do it. Eat the word. The next, let's go ahead and look and read verse 35. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure, what is evil? Here again, you say that you see this this concept of what have you treasured? Does that make sense? What have you treasured? You're going to keep what you treasure, right? And when we look at Jesus, he spoke out of love because he loved others and he loved God. So he always spoke truth. What was Jesus' treasure? Setting you free. Doing what was pleasing to God. Loving his neighbor. That was Jesus' treasure. And so what came forth from his treasure? Things that were good and right and loving towards God and other people. Knowing the word is important, but learning to treasure what the word tells you to treasure, that's also an important thing. You just can't have the knowledge. It needs to be integrated into your heart. In Ephesians 4:15, it talks about speaking the truth in love. That's because you treasure the person you're speaking to. So you're going to speak to them in truth because it's from God, and in love because you care about them. And look with me in verses 36 and 37. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Think about this for a moment. I did a sermon once, and I was talking about this. I had a box, and it was supposed to be full of money. And I said, we're relying on this box full of money for my future security. And I went on and on, and eventually I dumped it out, and it was full of packing peanuts. And those packing peanuts just got spread everywhere, and then the kids came and run through it. There were all these little chunks everywhere. It's hard to get that stuff back once you put it out there, right? And what this scripture says, though, is all those careless words that go out of your mouth, you're going to have to account for them. You're going to have to say why that word came out of your mouth. You have to answer for it in the judgment. And the question I have is that right? How can that be right? But the reason it's right is because it's a reflection of your heart. And if you can be judged by what's in your heart, you can also be judged by what comes out of your heart. Think about that. That is a sobering thought that Jesus puts out there. He says, every careless word, you're going to have to give an accounting for. How many careless words do we speak? So we need to be thoughtful about this. And how can I rein that in? How can I make it better? You've got to change the content of your heart. That's how Jesus spoke only truth, is because the content of his heart was right. And so what came out was right. And he never fell under judgment because of that. So let me ask you a question. If you adopted these principles, how much would it change your life? If you decided, I'm going to make sure I can give an account for every word that comes out of my mouth, how would that change your life? How would that change your interactions with the people that are close to you, that are around you? If every word that came out was a loving word, motivated by their making their joy complete and speaking what the Father says to speak, wouldn't that change a lot? Your relationship with your family, friends, church, associates, relationships with your community, your relationship with God? If you hear that question, you think, yes, my life would change if I started doing this, then I would encourage you to take into consideration what we're talking about this morning. Start changing the things that impact your heart. Start adding in the scripture, and not just reading it, but eating it. Absorb it. Let it change what's inside of you so it can change what comes out of you. Take responsibility for your words. And respond to the call of Jesus. He says, listen to me. Learn from me, for I am meek and gentle in heart. Jesus has lived an example for us. Every moment of his life, we can look at and know that that moment glorified God. Our lives can be that too because of Jesus. And I would encourage you to work towards that. Jesus knows we can't do what he did because we're a lot weaker than he was. But we can start taking responsibility for where we're at right now and making the necessary changes. If you know the direction, if you've seen Jesus' heart, and you know how his heart became like that, then you can make that change. If you look at hear these words and say, my life would change if I was less careless with what I said, and if my motivation was more like Jesus. Jesus taught us what we can do, and I would invite you to take that step. I would invite you to maybe mark your Bible at Matthew 12:33-37 and read that scripture, maybe memorize it this week and consider these words and consider our Lord. Even when it was at great dear cost to him, he did the right thing so that your joy may be made complete and that his joy, that he may have joy. Give him that joy in obeying his word. If you're here this morning and you need spiritual help in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.